Good morning. Let us pray before we start the message. Lord, we are so grateful for your presence. And Lord, as often as we try to plan things and put things together in our way with best intentions, changes happen, Lord. And we are thankful, God, for the way your Spirit walks with us through those changes. And I see that even in the service today. God, as you have blessed us with your Holy Spirit, the music, the opportunity to read scripture together, to pray together, and to hear from your word. Open our eyes and our minds and our hearts, Lord. We pray in your name. Amen. So maybe some of you have experienced this leading up to Christmas. This past week, you probably experienced a little bit of this. Maybe if you are anything like me, you began asking the question, did I get enough gifts? For me, I was thinking, did I get enough gifts for the kids? And is this kid's pile larger than another kid's pile? And we started organizing that way. And as we progressed throughout the week, our family, the list of errands continued to grow. The list of things that we needed to do continued to increase through that time. Or maybe you have a person in the family that's hard to buy for. I think every one of us has someone in our family that's difficult to buy for, right? And so you're wondering, like, they have so many different gadgets, so many different things. What am I going to get for this person? Or they have different types of hobbies that you're not very well informed on. So it's like, how do you buy this person a gift? Now, this happened a few years ago for me. About 4 years ago, we were buying gifts for the kids, and at the last minute, we realized didn't have enough for the older two, okay? At that time, they were 19 and 16. Corey, the oldest, and Clay, the middle child, did not have enough gifts for those two, and so I decided to create a scavenger hunt for them. And that year, we bought them mountain bikes for Christmas. And about halfway through opening gifts, they opened up their mountain bikes, and it was awesome. And then there was a scavenger hunt that was attached to the mountain bikes, to the gift of the mountain bikes. And so each clue took them from one room to the next, and they went through like six different rooms of the house. They were neck to neck in this competition. I made it a scavenger hunt that had a prize at the end for the winner. So there was motivation. There was a gift card, potentially a little bit of cash, right, to try to offset the fact that we didn't get them quite as many gifts as we should have. So they got all the way to the end of the scavenger hunt, and they were neck to neck. But this was where it all changed. You see, I planned the scavenger hunt for them to go outside with their mountain bikes and take a lap around the house. But I planned this a few days before Christmas, and there was no snow in the forecast. But if you may remember, 4 years ago, we had a white Christmas, and that's how it works in Indiana, doesn't it? If they don't forecast the snow happens. And that's what happened that morning. There were 3 or 4 inches of snow on the ground, and Corey, being as competitive as she is, she's 19 at the time, she's like, I'm going after this prize. She runs out on the patio barefoot and in shorts in 3 to 4 inches of snow, and she took her lap around the house. Now, Clay, the middle child, takes 2 steps out on the patio barefoot, and he looks around, and you ought to see the look on his face. He's like, I'm not doing this. He turns around and comes back into the house and sits down, and I'm watching this unfold. Corey's taken off on her mountain bike, and Clay is sitting down on the floor to put his shoes on to get prepared to go outside. Guess who won the prize? Corey clearly won the prize. Like, Clay was getting on the mountain bike, and Corey was already finishing up her lap around the house in the snow. Now, they don't remember 4 years later today. They don't remember the cash or the gift card that they were given at that time, but they remember the experience that they had of that scavenger hunt, of running out of the back door in the snow, barefoot with shorts on. As difficult as it can be to give tangible gifts to those that we know so well, no wonder it's hard to know what gifts we give to Jesus. What gifts do we bring to Jesus? where we get stuck on these questions. What do I have to offer? What if it's not good enough? I mean, what do you give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What we learned in today's passage is that the shepherds were already giving gifts before they ever showed up in Bethlehem. Before they ever showed up in the manger, the shepherds were giving gifts. Before they knew Jesus, before they saw his family, before they knew his family, they were giving the gift of being available. Being available is a gift that the shepherds gave, and it's a gift that we can give today. This means getting past the messiness of our own lives and knowing that God shows up in the mess. The first two verses of this passage sets an amazing scene. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them." The very nature of being a shepherd means that you watched over your flocks, that you were constantly on call and constantly on the move. Interruptions happened naturally. It was a part of their job, and it came with the territory. When we think of the shepherds, we often romanticize the idea. But this was a true example of God's glory coming down to meet creation, to meet us where we are. This angelic announcement of Jesus Christ being born came to the shepherds while they were watching over their flocks. Now, in the day of the shepherds, 2,000 years ago, shepherds were considered shifty people, not always honest, not always trustworthy. Locals didn't like shepherds a whole lot because they would trespass on their land so that the sheep could graze. So they were not considered good citizens. It was a despised occupation, and they were often considered ceremonially unclean. The birth is announced to this humble group of people, to many that would consider outcasts of society in that day. Let's think about this just for a second. God had many options on how he was going to announce the birth of his son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If God had a checklist, it went something like this. An angel to make the announcement. Check. We all had lots of checklists this last week, didn't we? God has his own checklist in this case. And an angel to announce. Check. Great music to make the announcement. Check. A choir of angels. Check. A light shining all around them. Check. I mean, this is looking to be an amazing picture of this announcement. And then enters the shepherds. Shepherds, check. The shepherds was on God's list. But I ask you today, if you would have had the shepherds on your list, considering their occupation, considering their history, would you have had them on the list of the perfect announcement of Jesus Christ, Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords? God chose the shepherds in this moment for the announcement. They wouldn't have made our checklist, but no wonder this is called good news, because it's the news that meets us where we are. Isaiah 9:2 says this, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Now we see in this story a contrast. The shepherds are watching their flocks, and the angels show up. God's glory shining all around them, the shepherds, the angels, together in one place. What a sight. The contrast of what we are seeing in this passage is real. I mean, it's earthy and it's heavenly. It's out of this world, yet it's so worldly. It's perfect, and yet it's perfectly imperfect. It's beautiful, and it's messy. The God of all creation having all the options available, and yet God chose this very scenario to share the good news with us all. You see, in our eyes, we could think of some most amazing views, some greater places to make this announcement, or better people to include in this announcement. We could have picked a group of people that would represent the king so well. But here we go again, sharing our perspective. Here we go again, interjecting ourselves into the story of who should be and should not be included in this story. God picked that very time and place to show us the beauty that he sees in all of creation. So I ask you, what do you bring as a gift? We are able to bring the gift of being available. Are you available in the mess? Are you available in the messiness? Are you present to see what God has in store, even in the midst of the mess? Or are we all wrapped up in our own plans, our own perspectives, our own rules, our own ways of seeing what God has to offer? Do we realize that God has so much to offer in the midst of our busyness, in the midst of the messes that we see around us? Do we see that God is doing something beautiful, even in the midst of mess? This happens all the time in our lives. Ironically, it seems to happen more frequently the closer we get to Christmas. I notice this every year. As we get closer to Christmas, my list only gets longer. The longer the list, it seems like the less available I am to see God working in the midst of what I am doing. We light the candles. We're reminded of love, of joy, of hope, of peace. We're reminded of all these things, all of the symbolism around us to point us to Christ, and oftentimes we walk right past it to get to our list of things to do, our list of things to accomplish. So how can we be available? How can we be available in the midst of the mess or in the midst of the busyness? I want to encourage you to allow grace for others. Allow yourself grace. Plan less and live more into the experience. Enjoy the simple things. Compliment one another. Encourage one another. Love one another. Don't just rush off to the next thing. So we have this gift of being available in the mess, and we also have this gift that we can bring of being open in the mess, being open and being flexible. Now think of the last few days. Not so easy to be flexible, right? Not so easy when changes of plans happen. Some of you may know that one of my hobbies is hiking, and I love outdoor activities. And so I mountain bike and I hike. And during the pandemic, I got the opportunity to hike more on the Appalachian Trail. And I do these section hikes. I did two this year, and I'm planning two next year, 50 to 70 miles on the Appalachian Trail. And one of the things, when you join groups on social media about hiking on the Appalachian Trail, one of the things that people like to talk about the most is their backpack, what they carry in their backpack. And the stories get pretty funny because they start talking about luxury items. What are some of your luxury items that you carry? Items that you don't have to have, but you want to have on the trail. My luxury item? Coffee. Now, some of you are saying, no, that's not a luxury item. That's a necessity, right? That's like a necessity. But for me, it's like I get this special kind of coffee. In fact, I waited like 2 months for it to show up in the mail before one of my trips, because I had to have that flavor of coffee while I was on the trail. On one trip in particular, I brought bacon and eggs the first night. It was amazing to wake up the next day and have bacon and eggs and coffee. It was amazing, but it was also heavy, right? So those are your luxury items. But people will start talking about the weight that they carry. How heavy is your backpack? And so this saying comes about when we talk about backpacking is that you pack your fears. As you can kind of imagine, one of my fears would be going hungry. So I pack a lot of extra food. If you shake down my backpack, you'll find 2 pounds of extra food in my backpack. And so I am packing my fear. Other people, they're afraid of the weather. They're afraid of getting wet or being too cold overnight. So they'll pack too many layers or they'll pack the wrong layers. About 30 miles into the trail, when you start south in Georgia and you go northbound, about 30 miles into the trail, there's a place called Neal's Gap. And there's a store there where they'll shake down your pack and they'll pull everything out and say, you don't need this item. You don't need that item. Or you packed the wrong gear. It needs to be lighter and warmer. They'll change everything that you're doing about your pack. So people are afraid of different things. So they overpack. They pack their fears. And so it is with our own lives, is that we pack our fears. What happens to the angel? What happens to the shepherds when the angels show up? They are afraid, and the angel has to calm them down with words of encouragement. Now, I believe that we all would respond this way if angels showed up in our lives, right? We would show a little bit of fear because we've been packing our fears. So we would probably respond with fear. The shepherds, messy by nature, not trusted by their culture. Maybe the place that they had picked to graze that night, maybe they were trespassing. And they thought, oh Lord, I'm going to pay the ultimate price tonight. My flock is on someone else's land and God is showing up and telling me what I have done wrong. We pack our fears. But do you notice in this scripture what happens? The angel says, do not be afraid. For I have good news of great joy for all people. That message comes down and it meets us where we are. We all have fears that we carry. The fear that we have comes from the messiness that we live in. Our own humanity that we often dress up. We put lights up. We decorate. We show God's hope and salvation. But where we are personally is sometimes a mess. And so don't think it's a coincidence that the angel shows up, followed by a choir of angels in the midst of their mess. The contrast is more than we can imagine. Heaven meets earth in that moment, and the gap is too big for us to be able to fill. Let's name some of our own fears. Many of us have a fear that we don't belong, have a fear that we don't deserve God's grace or God's forgiveness in our lives. Some of us feel like we don't deserve to be in the presence of God. That's how the shepherds felt in that moment, or in the presence of angels, or that we are not worthy. Sometimes we feel that we are broken and we are defined by our brokenness rather than defined by God's redemption in our lives. Some of us realize that our lives are messy. And no matter how much we try to dress it up, we have our own challenges, and it's hard to wrestle with those challenges. And we become defined by the messiness. And I want to encourage you this morning that God sees you differently. In God's perfect plan, in His checklist, you're on that checklist. The angels are there, the choir of angels is there, the light is shining all around, and you are there. God's grace, God's love, and God's forgiveness. The angels said, do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing good news of great joy for all people. This gospel is the good news of Luke, showing the contrast between the kingdoms of this world and God's kingdom. The contrast between shepherds and angels. And finally, the contrast between fear and joy. We pack our own fears, and our backpacks get heavy with the fear that we have. But think about this. The power of Luke contrasting fear and joy. In the Bible, it says, fear not, 80 times throughout the Bible. Isaiah 43:1 says, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You're on the list. God sees you in the midst of the mess, and God redeems you, and God loves you. The shepherds here know from this experience that genuine joy can only come from God. And when that joy comes, it casts out all fear. The angel says, do not be afraid. I'm bringing you good news and great joy for all people. Notice Luke does not contrast fear and happiness. Happiness is a response that we have when something is going well. But when things are difficult and life is messy, we don't usually respond with happiness. We respond with stress. Sometimes we respond with anger. We recognize the messiness that's happening in our own lives, and it's difficult to understand or to process. Happiness cannot squash fear, but joy can. There's a reason why we lit the candle of joy through Advent. It's something that only God can give, and God can give that joy in the midst of the most difficult and messy circumstances that we face. The angels see the shepherds in their messiness, and what is the emphasis? Is it on the good news? No. Interesting enough, it's on the great joy, and this joy only comes from God. God is the source. This joy brings about an openness in our own lives and a flexibility in the midst of difficult times. In Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, we hear of the Magi who followed a star in the east and brought gifts to Jesus, gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Those were tangible gifts that they gave. And from their perspective, they're giving gifts to a king. But I love in this Luke chapter 2 passage where the shepherds give intangible gifts. Because many times we don't know the gifts that we have to bring to Jesus. But I'm here to tell you today that you do have the gifts. You have the gift of being available. You have the gift of being open to what God is going to do and flexible. You have the gift of being able to respond to God. Yes, even in the midst of the mess, go to Bethlehem. This little crossroads of a town that didn't have much status. It didn't have political power. It's not a destination vacation, but God is calling you to go to Bethlehem, to bring your gifts to Jesus. And oftentimes we don't think we have enough, but God tells us in this story that we actually do. Think about some of the messes that you've encountered in your life. Now I'm going to use a word that my grandmother used to use here. I think it matches. We've had some doozies, haven't we? We've had some doozies of messes in our own lives. And when we think of those, we so often try to define ourselves by those times in our life. And we don't think that we have much to offer. And in those moments, it's hard to bring the gifts. But God is reminding us that we do have the gift of being available, no matter what's happening in our lives. This last Wednesday, I went to visit someone in the ER downtown. And I have to tell you, think about it. It was Wednesday, 2 days before Christmas. And so my lists were growing longer, my personal list, my list at work, all the things I needed to check off. And I walked onto the floor, and there was this chaos. Every room was full. There were nurses that were talking, planning, trying to figure things out. Doctors, specialists were on the floor. They were cleaning rooms. I mean, everything was happening. I was showing up at the same time. That place was full. And there seemed to be this spirit of chaos in the ER. I went to pray with one of our members, and they're heavily medicated, so they're not able to respond. And I shared scripture with her. I shared Luke chapter 2, in fact. I shared Psalm 63 and Psalm 91. Those are verses that you could share with someone who is in need. And then I transitioned into prayer. And in the middle of my prayer, it was like Christmas came, because there was this chaos going on around me. And it was kind of symbolic of my own life, right? All this chaos that's happening right before Christmas. But there was this peace, and there was this calm. And it was not something that I could explain. And I remember stopping and pausing my prayer, because I felt like this was a holy moment. It was 2 days early, but Christmas had come, because it reminded me of the reason for the seasons. The list that I had went to the side in that moment. And Jesus became the center, the focus of that time and in that moment. We all need those moments, don't we? And it's something that we can't orchestrate. It's something that I didn't orchestrate. It's something where, like, the Holy Spirit just calms us and speaks into us. But I ask you today, are you able to take a moment to be available? Are you open? Are you flexible in these moments where things get so busy? Are you able to see Jesus in your midst? Let's pray. Oh God, you are a loving God. And we often will mention that in our services, in our prayers, in our thoughts. But God, do we realize the extent of your love, that even in the midst of our mess, you come down. You are present. God, you speak your good news to all people. And sometimes we are tempted to hold on to that news for ourselves. But God, you're calling us to go tell it on the mountain, to share this good news that your love is for all people. Your grace, your forgiveness, that we are not defined by the mess, but we're defined by the redemption that you bring us, by your forgiveness and your grace in our lives. Please help us today. Speak into our hearts. May we have those moments where we pause and we recognize that your Spirit is at work, that Christmas is here. We thank you, God, for your presence in this service. Speak to us, Lord, in your name. Amen.